Okay, so welcome everyone to the meditation class. And as usual, I will just say a few things and then we can get started with the meditation in a few minutes' time. So one of the things, one of the aspects of meditation, the way it was taught by the Buddha himself, is of course the idea of giving rise to mindfulness. And what is interesting in the suttas, the way the Buddha talks about this, if you want to do meditation practice and you really want it to be powerful, if you want it to be the kind of meditation that the Buddha himself taught, ideally you should give rise to mindfulness before you'd actually do a focus on any particular object. So if you want to do mindfulness of breathing, or you want to do metta meditation or whatever it is, ideally, you want to give rise to mindfulness, first of all. And that mindfulness is basically a kind of clarity of mind, yeah, where you are in the present moment. There's not too much thinking going on. You're kind of at ease in the present moment. And that is what mindfulness really means. So ideally, you should get there first, before you actually start watching anything or doing anything in particular. And for many people, that's not easy. If you can't do it, then that's fine. You can still do your meditation object, but this is just the ideal, what we're trying to achieve. And to be able to do that, some of the things that you have to do to have that mindfulness, one of the most important things is obviously to let go of the past and the future. If you can't let go of the past and the future, you're not going to be, by definition, in the present moment. This is one of the things that we have to learn to let go of. The way to do that, the way to let go of these things that drag us around in time, one of the ways of doing that is to do the death contemplation. And not everybody feels comfortable with that, and if you don't feel comfortable with it, please don't do it. But some people find it very useful, and it's something very, usually very much part, or almost any kind of spiritual path you practice, death contemplation forms usually a part of that. One of the things about death, if you're going to die, you don't know when it is, you don't know in what circumstances, it is as if the past and the future don't really matter anymore. If you can bring it into your mind that death can come at any time, then of course you have to be ready to die now. Now is the only time you can be ready to die. And being ready to die now entails a number of things. It entails that we can't really afford to have any enemies at any time. Yeah, if you have an enemy and you're going to die, it's not a nice thing. So you can never really afford to have an enemy. Nor can you afford not to forgive. You learn to forgive straight away because these things are so uncertain. Now is the time to forgive. Yeah, but also, if you are going to die and you don't know when it is, one of the things that it entails is that because it can happen at any moment, it means in a sense that you actually have no future at all. It's just a perception. Yeah, sometimes we have a future, sometimes we don't. But if you imagine that you can die at any time, it means that you have no future. And if you get that into your mind, yeah, but in a nice way, please don't force these things, don't make it into something which is a burden. Make it into something which is an insight into the nature of life. And if you do that, you can let go of all future by knowing that actually, in a sense, we don't actually have a future. The mind can become very quiet and very peaceful as a consequence. So this is just this little skillful technique to, in a very profound sense, we actually don't really have a future because of the contemplation of death. And see if you can use these kind of contemplations to actually draw the mind into the present moment, let go of the past and the future, and then get that mindfulness to arise. And then you will find the quality of your meditation will be far more powerful as a consequence. Okay, let's try to do some meditation together. And as always, make sure you take a lot of time at the beginning just to find that ease of body and mind. This is not something to go for, something to get. It's something to relax into. And as you relax into these things, then it is actually such a natural and easy process if you get this right. And as the process goes on, sometimes we just nudge the mind a little bit. And that nudging is really almost all the effort that is required in the meditation. The rest is just relaxing and allowing the peace and calm to come by themselves. And as you start to calm down, as you start to let go of some of the things that are distracting in meditation, sometimes you can nudge the mind very gently to get it moving in the right direction. One of those nudges is just a reminder that death is an ever-present reality. You never know when it's going to come. And because of that, it is as if you have no future at all. And if you can build up that perception of not having a future, then so much of the tendency of the mind to chatter and talk and think about things is swept aside in one go. See if you can use this sort of idea, just very gently, just a small nudge of the mind to deepen that stillness and peace a few notches more. one of the benefits of very gently contemplating the idea of death is that the mind tends to withdraw from the world. You realize all the worldly things around us, they are problematic because they all have an expiry date. And when you see that, you withdraw inside of yourself as if you're letting go, allowing the world to fade away. And in this way, the mind becomes independent of external things. And when that happens, that is when often the meditation starts to work. You can turn your mind to the breath or whatever. When the world outside starts to fade, that is when the meditation becomes possible. Thank you. And we are now coming close to the end of the meditation. And before we come to the very end, please just try to review the meditation you had so far. Try to understand, if you feel more peaceful, why that is the case. How does this process actually work? Okay, so that's the meditation for now, so just sit comfortably, and if you have any questions, you can ask those questions now if you're interested. Okay, are there any questions? No questions from anyone? Okay, good. One from outside of the Dhammaloka Center. Yeah.
Thank Chris.
Okay, we've got a couple of questions here. Okay. Number one, what would be the correct way of noting the present moment, mindfulness, subjectively or objectively? The correct way of noting the present moment, I don't think you have to note it as such. I'm not sure exactly what you mean by noting. One of the kind of typical meditation techniques that is used a lot is the idea of noting things, of noting what you're doing, like a mental commentary on what is happening. You don't really have to do that. All you have to do is to be aware of what's going on. Yeah, you don't really have to note anything in particular. You're just aware. The moment you are aware, the moment you know what's happening, you are in the present moment. If you kind of get lost in thought or whatever, then you are not in the present moment. So you don't really have to do anything in particular. You just know whether you are aware or not, and that's really all you have to do. So I'm not entirely sure exactly what you mean by that. So maybe I've misunderstood your question. But anyway, try again in the future if it's still a problem. The second question is: what is the better way to practice Zen or Theravada? Theravada is much better, yeah. Now, usually the way with these things is you do what works for you. If something gives good results, then that is usually a good technique. There are so many different meditation techniques around, and it's not, you know, some of them work for some people, others work for other people, and none of them are kind of... The only really universal technique is the techniques taught by the Buddha. Anything else is a kind of subject to evaluation for the individual. So see what works for you. If something gives good results, if you feel peaceful, if you feel at ease and relaxed, then do that. But what I find is useful and something that you may wish to follow up on is the idea of what the Buddha taught. What did actually the Buddha teach? The Buddha is the fountainhead, is the kind of root of all of these various teachings. And for that reason, the Buddha's teaching is particularly powerful because it gave rise to everything else. So that is the only thing I would recommend you to look into, what is actually the word of the Buddha. And that is probably the only piece of advice I would give about that. Okay, so that is all for now. So if you wish, we can just pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.